CD 2. Advanced Listening Comprehension. Developing Oral and Note-Taking Skills. Third Edition. By Patricia Dunkel and Frank Piolorsi. Published by Heinle, a division of Thompson Learning Incorporated. Copyright 2005. Unit 2. History. The Passing of Time and Civilizations. Chapter 3. The Egyptian Pyramids. Houses of Eternity. A. Orientation Listening.
To many people throughout the world, some of the most remarkable and puzzling monuments of ancient times are the pyramids of ancient Egypt. You know, almost nothing at all remains of the great cities of the kings of Egypt, the pharaohs. Time and weather have been really hard on ancient Egypt's cities and towns, but several of the temples, statues, and most important of all, the pyramids have survived. Even though many of the pyramids are in ruins, they still give us some idea of the magnificence of ancient Egypt's civilization. A civilization that, after all, lasted for more than 3,000 years. Remember, when we're talking about ancient Egypt, we're talking about at least 30 consecutive dynasties. A dynasty is a series of kings or queens of the same royal family, something like the Romanovs of Europe, the Ming Dynasty of China, or the Al Sauds of Saudi Arabia. As many of you probably already know, the pyramids were constructed as tombs or burial places for the Egyptian kings and their family members. You see, the ancient Egyptians passionately believed in life after death. In fact, their entire culture revolved around that belief. The kings, queens, and state officials often spent an entire lifetime preparing for their life after death. They did this by collecting possessions or grave goods, by building tombs and so forth. The Egyptians believed that they could be assured of an afterlife only if their bodies could be preserved from decay or destruction. So when a person died, and especially when a pharaoh died, in order to ensure his eternal life, he had his body embalmed or mummified. In other words, he had his corpse dried out and wrapped in linen to preserve it from decay. Then he had his mummy hidden. This whole idea may seem quite strange today, but the ancient Egyptians really believed that if one's mummy was destroyed, then his or her soul would be destroyed. And if, on the other hand, the mummy, the dead body, was preserved, the soul would be immortal. Let me repeat that. If one's mummy was preserved, the soul would go on living. For another thing, the ancient Egyptians believed that the dead person could take his or her earthly possessions along to the next world. This is just the opposite of the Western idea that you can't take it with you when you go. Anyway, the dead person was provided with food, clothing, furniture, weapons, and even servants. It was not at all unusual for the pharaoh's slaves to be put to death so that they could serve him in the afterlife. So you can see why the pharaohs wanted to have their bodies and their possessions hidden to protect them from grave robbers. Before they died, they had special tombs built for this purpose, to hide their bodies and their treasures. In the early years of ancient Egypt, these tombs were the pyramids, the vast burial chambers that were built to fool the grave robbers. Unfortunately, the grave robbers almost always outsmarted even the most powerful and the most careful of pharaohs. They broke into most of the pyramids or tombs and stole the food and other treasures they found. They even desecrated and destroyed the mummies of the dead. Needless to say, they would not bother a poor person's grave. These grave robbers even banded together into organizations or brotherhoods. Just imagine, a grave robbers' union. Now, as for the actual construction of the mighty pyramids, it was during the first and second dynasties that the kings and nobles of Egypt began to construct the type of tomb called the Mastaba. The first and second dynasties lasted from about 3100 to about 2665 BCE. Mastaba, by the way, comes from an Arabic word meaning bench or long seat. A mastaba looked like a low, flat-topped rectangle, something like a low bench or a shoebox. Essentially, the pointed pyramid was no more than an extension upward of the flat-topped mastaba. The first typical pyramid, or at least what most people generally think a pyramid looks like, was built during the Third Dynasty, which lasted roughly from about 2664 until 2615 BCE. This pyramid was for King Zoser, that's spelled Z-O-S-E-R, in about 2650 BCE. It was built by an architect named Imhotep, I-M-H-O-T-E-P. This pyramid was constructed as a series of giant steps or stairs. It, along with others of its type, is called the Step Pyramid. It was really simply a pile of mastabas, each step smaller and higher than the one before. The Step Pyramid of King Zoser was different from the later pyramids because it was never covered with stone to give it a smooth surface. Actually, it was not until the Fourth Dynasty that the most famous pyramids were built. The three great pyramids of Giza belong to the Fourth Dynasty pyramids. The Fourth Dynasty covered the period from 2614 to 2502 BCE. They are located near the town of Giza on the west bank of the Nile River, just outside the capital city of Egypt, Cairo. The Great Pyramids are really the very best preserved of all the Egyptian pyramids. The largest of these pyramids is known as the Great Pyramid, and great it is. It was built for King Khufu, that's K-H-U-F-U. Khufu was called Cheops, C-H-E-O-P-S, by the Greeks, and so the pyramid is sometimes called the Pyramid of Cheops. It has been estimated that 2.3 million blocks of limestone were used to build the Great Pyramid. The blocks averaged 2,500 kilograms each. The largest stone block weighs about 15,000 kilos. The base of the pyramid covers 5.3 hectares, an area large enough to hold 10 football fields. There's a story that the conqueror Napoleon once sat in the shadow of the Great Pyramid and calculated that the mass of stone in the pyramid could be used to build a wall 3 meters high by 0.3 meters thick around the entire country of France. In terms of height, the pyramid was originally 147 meters high, but today the top 10 meters are missing, and the entire outer limestone covering has been stripped away. It seems that local builders and conquerors found it convenient to strip off the limestone from the pyramids and use it to build with. The Great Pyramid of Khufu is considered a wonder of ancient architecture. When you look at it, you immediately wonder how on earth the ancient Egyptians ever managed to build such a structure with only basic mathematics, with no modern machinery such as cranes, bulldozers, and so forth, and with no iron tools. They had to cut the big limestone blocks with tools made of copper, which is a rather soft metal, but they managed to do it. The ancient Greek historian Herodotus, that's H-E-R-O-D-O-T-U-S, Herodotus said that 400,000 men worked for 20 years to build the Great Pyramid. Archaeologists today doubt these figures, but of course the true statistics cannot ever really be determined. It is thought, though, that at least 100,000 people worked to build any single pyramid. Most of these workers were slaves. They worked on the tombs during times when the Nile River overflowed its banks and covered the fields. The Nile's flooding made farming impossible and made transportation of the stone to the pyramid site easier. The second and third pyramids of Giza were built by Khufu's successors. The tomb of Khafre is the second pyramid of Giza. Khafre is spelled K-H-A-F-R-E. It was originally 3 meters lower than the Great Pyramid. However, today it is only 0.8 meters lower. Its present height is 136.2 meters. The third pyramid, built for Menkaure, covers only half the area occupied by the Great Pyramid, and it is only 62.5 meters high. Menkaure is spelled M-E-N-K-A-U-R-E. None of the later pyramids that were built during the next 13 or 14 centuries were nearly as large or as magnificent as the pyramids of Giza. And even though pyramid building continued right up into the 11th and 12th dynasties, that was up through about 1786 BCE, it was becoming increasingly clear to the pharaohs and the nobles of Egypt that the pyramid method of burial provided very little or no protection at all for their royal corpses. The pyramids were, of course, impressive and lasting monuments, but they were all too visible. They invited grave robbers to try to break into them. And so eventually, one of the pharaohs, King Thutmose I, decided to sacrifice publicity for safety in the construction of his House of Eternity. I don't need to spell Thutmose for you, do I? Instead of ordering the construction of a pyramid, Thutmose had his tomb dug out of the rock of a valley, far from the Nile River and far from Cairo. The spot he chose was some 11 kilometers from the river on its west bank. The area is now known as the Valley of the Kings. Many pharaohs followed Thutmose's example. After him, most of the pharaohs abandoned above-ground pyramid construction in favor of underground hiding places as the burial places for their precious royal bones. And yet, what is so ironic is that even these tombs did not escape the attacks of the grave robbers, persistent devils that they were. I'll end this discussion by pointing out that when the ancient Greeks first saw the Great Pyramids of Egypt, the pyramids were already 2,000 years old. The Greeks called them one of the seven wonders of the world. Almost nothing remains of the other six wonders, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Temple of Diana, and so on. But the three mighty pyramids of Giza, as well as 32 other recognizable pyramids, still stand. These pyramids of Egypt are monuments to a great and ancient civilization and to people's endless search for eternal recognition and eternal life.